Well, good morning, Sower Nation. It is Tuesday, August the 12th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Listen, I got two special points of personal privilege I'm going to take here this morning. I'm going to say my first friend in life, in the world. It is my first friend's birthday today. And that is Jeff Estes from Dumas, Arkansas, August the 12th. And then I'm going to say my best friend's birthday over these past, I'd say, 30 years. My best friend, Maxie Dunham. It is his birthday today. Certainly, he's been a mentor. He's been a boss, a father in the ministry. But over all these years, I've known him since 1994. He's become my best friend. So, happy birthday, Maxie. Happy birthday, Jeff. And let's dive into consecration this morning. You ready? Jesus is ready. He's ready for this day. He's been waiting for this day. We've closed the book on yesterday. We're not even going to crack the seal on tomorrow. We got a day ahead of us. It's going to be a Jesus day. So wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Title of today's entry: What Doesn't Kill You Makes You Stronger? That's a question. Our text is James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. We're making a little bit of a camp here, campsite right here in this text. Hear now the word of the Lord. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. Recapping yesterday, our faith is being tested by the world, the flesh, and the devil, aka Satan, all the time. We need to restate our words aloud from yesterday. You ready? Repeat after me. This is a testing of my faith. How does this work? So how does the testing of our faith produce perseverance? The test creates the opportunity for Jesus to transcend and transform our lives. Perseverance does not come from us. It comes from God. I would press through the words transcend and transform into the word transfuse. Transfusing. There's a word I've never used, but I sensed it was the word. I looked it up. The first definition relates to blood and the obvious connection to a blood transfusion, which itself has interesting implications when it comes to Jesus. The second definition is the bingo. Quote, to cause something or someone to be permeated or infused by something. And I would add, or someone. I don't know about you, but the fireworks are going off for me. To cause to pass from one person to another sounds like Jesus' very words when he said, "Abide in me, and I will abide in you." Transfusing. It gets really interesting when we get to the origins of the word transfuse. Check this out. Late Middle English, in the sense caused to pass from one person to another. It's from the Latin transfus, poured from one container to another, from the verb transfundere, from trans, across, plus fundere, pour, P-O-U-R. More fireworks, to pour from one container to another, to pour across, evokes all the imagery of the Holy Spirit being poured out on the day of Pentecost and thereafter. It evokes the imagery of baptism. Baptism by water and baptism by the Spirit of God, transfusing. This is how the testing of our faith produces perseverance. Jesus causes his life to pass from his person into your person through the pouring out of the Holy Spirit into your spirit. Now, for the longest time, here's how I thought this process of perseverance worked. Number one, I face a trial. Number two, I ask God to help me. Number three, I ask people to pray for me. Number four, I do my best to get through it, having faith that God is helping me. And number five, I eventually get through it, giving God the glory, thanks, and praise. In this equation, faith seems to be my belief that God is helping me get through the trial. That doesn't much feel like transfusing, does it? It feels more like God helps those who help themselves and maybe pray a little bit. It feels like religious self-help, which I contend is what much of modern-day Christianity is. It's religious self-help, not transformation, certainly not transfusing. So here's the transfusion question. What if Jesus actually wants to come into your core person and take over your life? What if he's looking not so much for help me God prayers, but have me Jesus prayers? What if Scripture really means it when it says, "I no longer live, but Christ lives in me," Galatians 2:20? What if, quote, "the testing of your faith produces perseverance" doesn't actually mean what doesn't kill you makes you stronger? What if it means the testing of your faith leads to Jesus himself through the Holy Spirit persevering in and through your life? What if it means the death of the false self and the resurrection of the true self, which is the transfusion of Jesus into your whole self, body, mind, and spirit? Now, that would be something akin to pure joy, wouldn't it? That would be indefatigable hope, wouldn't it? That would be breathtaking love, wouldn't it? This is precisely why our faith needs to be tested, so we can graduate from a spiritualized version of "I think I can," to a meek, poor in spirit, "I know I can't," to a sturdy, surrendered, and confident, I know Jesus in me will. The testing of our faith leads us from faith as believing in something to faith as surrendering to someone. How's that encouraging you today? Let's pray. Father, we want to believe this is true, but we have gone so long without really believing it that we wonder if we can make the leap. It is just easier to keep it at arm's length. With you helping us on our terms and us taking it from there. Lord Jesus, we sense you really do want us to belong to you, and yet we hold back. We know the testing of our faith produces perseverance, but we need to know it at a whole new level, beyond what we used to think. Come, Holy Spirit, and bring me into a wholehearted surrender, the kind that leads to the transfusing of your life into mine all the time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is a big campfire we got going here today in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. I'm feeling the heat. The journal prompt here. How are you seeing the difference between a transfused perseverance and a gutted-out kind of perseverance? We're going to sing a hymn that's it's just kind of come to me. We probably already sang it in this series, but that's okay. Because when it fits, it fits. It's called Leaning. Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. It's number 61 in our Seedbed Hymnal, our Great Redeemer's Praise. We'll sing it in just a minute. Oh, gosh. What to say? I know, I hear you. You're like, you've said enough. How about we sing? What doesn't kill, that's a song. I think that was Kelly Clarkson. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Get a little longer. I'm like, no, that's not the Christian faith. Okay, it's not a bad song, but that's not the Christian faith. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. No. That's the gut it out. Try harder. You can make it. Sprinkle a little prayer over it. Ask some people from the church to pray for you and just do your best. That's really what I thought the Christian faith and prayer and all that was about for the longest time, till I woke up, till the sleeper in me woke up and realized that Jesus wants, there's another song, Jesus take the wheel. Jesus wants to take the wheel and drive the vessel, steer the ship, power the engines of this mortal body, right? That's the difference in the old self and the new creation. That's the reality of I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That song we were listening to last week from City of Light, yet not I, but through Christ in me. This is what I learned from Maxie Dunham. The secret, John David, he said, is simply this. He says it to himself every day to this day. The secret, Maxie, is simply this. Christ in you. Yes, Christ in you, bringing with him the hope of all the glorious things to come. That's why we come down to the altar and receive the body and the blood of Christ. It's not just a religious act. It's the act, the mystical act of actually receiving the body, the person, the presence, the power, the love, the grace, the goodness of Jesus into our physical bodies, like by eating and drinking. And Christian faith is simply waking up, rising up, growing up into the reality that yet not I, but through Christ in me. It's the maturation, right? That's what that text says, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And some people say, well, I like me. I don't want me to go away. I don't want to have just Jesus and know me. I'm like, no, that's not what it's saying. It's saying the broken you is what's dead and dying. Bury it. The new you, the real you, the true you is the Jesus in you. It is his person, the personhood of God coming into your person, into your personality. He's better than the best. And he's like, I made you for myself, and I made you, and I am for you. You are for me. Let's just do this exchange. I'll take all that's wrong and broken and sinful and lost in you, and I'll give you all that's good and right and true and holy and loving and pure and powerful in me. All right, let's sing. You ready? Number 61. It happens through this leaning. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Let's go up a notch. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Amen. Amen. Well, this has been one of my favorites, I think, this entry today. And I know I just kind of started exhorting you there at the end. And I got so carried away at the beginning with my two dear friends' birthdays, I forgot to celebrate that it's Tuesday. It's Taco Tuesday. I mean, how often does your birthday come along on Taco Tuesday? Well, I guess every 6-7 years. But anyhow, it's time to hit the field, guys. And that's you know, waking up, awakening is this progressing, ongoing, deepening journey of knowing Jesus better, of him knowing us better. And that's why we spend these mornings together. That's what we're doing. We're just bit by bit, day by day, letting the Word of God light our way. We're in consecration, becoming transformation, becoming demonstration. And that's what leads to multiplication. All right, it's time to hit the field. Gather your seeds. I'll see you out there for the awakening. I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.